Hare Krishna, everyone. Welcome to today's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita class. The schedule would have said that today's class was going to be given by His Grace Ranchor Prabhu, a very esteemed senior devotee in our community. So for some reason or the other, Ranchor Prabhu was unable to speak today. So we've been asked to step in. So apologies for any disappointment. Before we begin, we'd like to request and beg for the mercy of all the devotees assembled and online to be merciful to me so I can speak something worthy of this great literature. So today we will be concluding our reading and discussion of chapter number 9 of the Madhya Leela of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The chapter is entitled Lord Chaitanya's Travels to the Holy Places. And we have on the board today the final verse of the chapter, verse 365. But we'll be reading 363, 364, and then we will together recite 365. So, as I mentioned, these are the concluding verses of this particular chapter. I will read, you don't have to repeat after me, 363, 364, and then we'll come to 365 together. Translation. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are just like an unfathomable ocean. It is not possible for me to enter into it. Simply standing on the shore, I am but touching the water. Text 364. Translation. The more one hears the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with faith, analytically studying them, the more one attains the ecstatic riches of love of Godhead. And then we come to verse 365, translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. And there's a one-line purport, purport by Srila Prabhupada. As usual, the author concludes the chapter by reciting the names of Sri Rupa and Raghunath and reinstating himself at their lotus feet. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, 9th chapter, describing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's travels to many holy places in South India. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we've been reading for the last few months, or maybe more than that, the description of Lord Chaitanya's travels to the holy places. And there were so many beautiful pastimes we've been reading about the Lord, and many important philosophical discussions. It is the previous chapter was chapter number 8. We read about the talks between the Lord and Ramananda Rai, and that took place at a place called Vijayanagar. And after the Lord left Vijayanagar, he went to a place called Gotami Ganga, Malikarjuna, Ahovala Narsinga, Siddhavata, Skandashetra, Trimata, Vridakashi, Bodhisthana, Tirupati, Tirumala, Pananishinga, Shiva Kanchi, Vishnu Kanchi, Trikala Ashti, Vridaloka, Shiali Bhairava, Kaveri Tira, Brahmagiri, so many places. At the beginning of the chapter, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes that on his travels to South India, Mahaprabhu visited thousands of tirthas, all by foot. The Lord had departed from Jagannath Puri, and he had walked all the way to South India. There was no auto rickshaw. There was no taxi, not even horse and carriage. But the Lord, his soft lotus feet, he's walking miles and miles. If we plot the various destinations of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and we see the places we went, it's inconceivable, it's unfathomable how the Lord had visited all of these places. And Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes that the Lord had one primary mission in visiting all of these holy places. And what was that mission? He's to make everyone devotees, and particular devotees of Lord Krishna. The south of India is well known for having been many Vaishnavs. There's the Sri Vaishnavs there, those who worship Lakshmi Narayan. And it is explained earlier on in this chapter, there are many, many devotees of Lord Ramachandra. But wherever Lord Chaitanya went, he would chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And he would convert everyone to devotees of Lord Krishna. Someone may ask, why? Why Lord Krishna? Because Lord Chaitanya, he brought something very unique to the world. He brought the mellows of Raja Bhakti. That means the bhakti of the residents of Vrindavan. And what is so special about the bhakti of the residents of Vrindavan? Their bhakti is imbued with these special types of rasa, transcendental mellow, that far surpasses the mellow of Dasya Ras. So Sri Chit, and this mellow, this rasa is so sweet, it's unparalleled, unheard of. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was distributing that which was very, very rare. And that is the bhakti of the Vrajavasis. And the bhakti of the Vrajavasis is, you know, in our philosophy we have the principle of perfect. Then there is more perfect. And then there's most perfect. The devotee, the bhakti of the Vaishnavas is always perfect. But the bhakti of the Vrajavasis is more perfect and most perfect. And especially the bhakti of the gopis of Vrindavan. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been traveling to these holy places. It is said that a saintly person, when they go to a holy place, they purify even the holy place. The holy places become burdened with the sinful reactions of the pilgrims that come there. Pilgrims go to holy places, theatres, to purify themselves. And it is said when they purify themselves, they get the purification of the holy places, they also leave the burden of their sins there. But the great devotees and the Lord, when they go to the holy places, they purify even the holy places. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling through all of these holy places. And in this chapter, we also read about some very important philosophical discussions that take place. There's the philosophical discussion between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Venkatabhatta. And that discussion revolves about how Venkatabhatta feels the worship of Lakshmi Narayan is the highest. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in a very casual, joking conversation with him, he shows Venkatabhatta that the bhakti of Lakshmi Devi is not as high as the bhakti of the Vrajavasis. Very nice philosophical discussion. And that for us is very important discussion. Because oftentimes, you know, we feel, you know, it's all the same. It's all the same. But it's not. Then we read Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets the Buddhists. Now that's a very interesting discussion for us also. Because what is the flaws in the Buddhist philosophy? What is the shortcomings in the Buddhist philosophy? Rejecting Vedas, yes. They rejected the Vedas following Lord Buddha. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he pointed out to them all of the flaws in the Buddhist philosophy. And then he went to Udupi. And then at Udupi, who did he meet? The Tattvavadis. Who are the Tattvavadis? The Tattvavadis are the followers of Madhvacharya. And there he asks them the question, what is the ultimate goal of life? And what do the Tattvavadis reply?
Liberation.
How you get liberation? By following Vanashram Dharma. So the main duties is Vanashram Dharma. And through Vanashram Dharma, we get liberation. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he smashes the conception of even liberation. See, everybody wants something. The karmis, they may perform some religious principles for some sense gratification. The jnanis, they perform spiritual life for moksha. The yogis, the Ashtanga yogis, they perform yoga to get the yogic siddhis. And the devotees, they perform yoga for what? Sometimes people say the devotees have no desires. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, no. Devotees also have desires. But what is the desire of the devotee? Yes. May Krishna be pleased with my service. The devotees have only one desire, the pleasure of Krishna. They don't care for anything else. Therefore, Prabhupada used to tell this famous story about the Krishna had a headache, and he was told that his headache can only be cured by the dust from the feet of his devotees. He went to various devotees, Narad Muni. Oh Krishna, what is your problem? I got headache. What is the cure for your headache? The dust from the lotus feet of my devotees. Will you give me some dust? Oh no, no Krishna. It's very sinful if I give you dust from my feet. Krishna was approaching everybody, his devotees. I need the dust to get my headache. And everyone was saying, oh no Krishna, we can't do that. It's sinful. We give our dust to you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he went to the gopis and he asked the gopis, can you give me dust of your lotus feet? They said, yeah Krishna, come take. If that alleviates your headache, you take. And Krishna said, what about the sin? We don't care about sin. We only care for your pleasure. This is the unique nature of the love and the bhakti of the Vrajavasis. Their only concern is Krishna's pleasure. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was distributing this very unique. So coming back to the text for today's verses. So in text 363, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are just like an unfathomable ocean. It is not possible for me to enter into it. Simply standing on the shore, I am but touching the water. So this is a beautiful metaphor given by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in relation to the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we can see even in this chapter, thousands of places visited by Mahaprabhu, but he can only speak about a few. And even about those few, he can't go into the detail of what happened, who he met, what discussion. He just gives an overview. Now I wanted to read one verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which I read before and I thought it was so relevant to this particular verse. So this is from the 11th canto, chapter number 8, entitled The Story of Pingala. And the context of this verse is Lord Krishna is talking to Uddhava. He's instructing Uddhava. On the last day before the Lord left, the final night before the Lord left this planet, he met Uddhava. And in that conversation with Uddhava, which is called famously known as the Uddhava Gita, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gaunita Ki Jai. So in this chapter, Lord Krishna describes to Uddhava the Avanti Brahmana giving instruction to a king called Maharaj Yadu. And in this particular chapter, the Lord is describing how the Avanti Brahmana is describing to Maharaj Yadu the qualities of a devotee. And text number 5, this metaphor of an ocean is given by the Lord, spoken by, to Uddhava. So I thought it may be interesting to read and give us some experience. Muni prasana gambiro durvigayo duratyayaha anantaparo hi akshobhya stimitoda ivaranaha. Translation. A saintly sage is happy and pleasing in his external behavior, whereas internally he is the most grave and thoughtful. Because his knowledge is immeasurable and unlimited, he is never disturbed, and thus in all respects he is like the tranquil waters of the unfathomable and unsurpassable ocean. Purport. This is by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Even in the midst of great distress, a self-realized sage does not lose control of himself, nor is his spiritual knowledge lost. Thus he is akshobhya, or undisturbed. His mind is fixed on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the reservoir of unlimited spiritual bliss. And having linked his consciousness with the Supreme Consciousness, his knowledge cannot be measured. A pure devotee, having taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, possesses great spiritual power, and therefore he cannot be surpassed or overwhelmed. In fact, having developed his spiritual body, he is not affected by the deteriorating actions of time. Outwardly, he is friendly and pleasing to everyone. Internally, his mind is fixed in the absolute, and no one can understand his actual purpose or plan. Even the most intelligent human being cannot understand the mental activities of a self-realized devotee who has given up material life based on lust and greed and taken shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. Such a great soul can be compared to the mighty ocean. Innumerable powerful rivers plunge into the ocean, but the ocean remains calm and peaceful. Thus a great person is understood to be like the ocean, pleasing, unfathomable, grave, unsurpassable, unlimited, and unshakable. Now, in our experience, if we have to relate something in our experience to being immeasurable, unlimited, and unfathomable, what would it be? Something that's immeasurable, unlimited, unfathomable. The best that we can come to relate to is the ocean. The ocean is so vast, like nothing we experience in this world. I remember when the Malaysian Airlines crashed, and up to today they couldn't discover it, where it was. And it was flying from Malaysia to China. And it went across a body of water. And when I was looking at the videos, they were narrating how vast the ocean was. And when they were trying to locate the aeroplane from its last detection, they couldn't come anywhere near. And at those points, the ocean was so deep. The ocean is so deep, so unfathomable. It is that one frontier on this earth that still largely remains undiscovered. The ocean is so vast, so unfathomable. So this is the nature of a saintly person and the Lord. One can never know what is the nature. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Krishna himself. He has unlimited potencies. He experiences unlimited bhavas. And externally he is always happy. But internally, they're very, very deep. Very, very deep. So Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is saying, yeah, I am trying to describe the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I feel like a person who's just putting their toe on the shore of the ocean. Such a beautiful metaphor, isn't it? Just
touching, his toes are touching the shore of the ocean. These are the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are unlimited. They are very deep. But Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is describing just the touch of the shore. Then the next verse, he says something very interesting, very relevant to us. What does Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says? He says, the more one hears the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with faith, analytically studying them, the more one attains the ecstatic riches of love of Godhead. So, this is very relevant for us. Our goal, it is said here, Tatapaya Premadhana. We are seeking the Krishna Prema, the love of Krishna. To serve Krishna in ecstatic love. So Kaviraj Goswami is giving a falashtuti here. He's saying, how do we get that Krishna, the Prema Dana? He says three things. One is hearing the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Two, not just hearing it, but hearing it more and more. Then he says, hearing it with faith. And then he says, analytically studying them. So he's giving the readers of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita four instructions. You should read Chaitanya Charitamrita more and more. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We should read them with faith. And we should analytically study them. And the result will be ecstatic riches of love of Godhead. So, Srila Prabhupada, he has made accessible the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Prabhupada did it in a most extraordinary way. In a matter of basically 14 months, he translated circa 11,300 verses of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, together with translation, word for word, and purport. That is just unfathomable what Srila Prabhupada did. And then he instructed his disciples, I want the entire Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita published in 4 months. It happened on Venice Beach. Prabhupada was walking with his disciples and then he stopped. He planted his cane on the ground. And he said, I'm not happy. I have finished the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, entire translation, but only one or two volumes have been printed. Then very proudly his disciples said, Srila Prabhupada, we've analyzed the situation. We've got the best equipment, right? We've got everything that we need. We can publish one volume every 3 months. Prabhupada looked at them. He planted his cane. And then he said, I want it done in 6 months. And the devotee, that was Rameshwar Das, he said, impossible. And Prabhupada looked at him and he said, impossible is a word that only exists in a fool's dictionary. And then Rameshwar Prabhu was thinking, now my spiritual life is online. What I am saying is, I don't have faith in the words of the spiritual master. Mukam karoti vachalam pangam lagete girim. The lame can climb mountains and the dumb can speak eloquently. He was doubting. And then they said, Prabhupada, leave it to us. And then they began the Chaitanya Charitamrita printing marathon. they were 24 hours, the artists were painting. One artist would paint, would fall asleep. The next artist would come and complete it. Devotees were going to India taking photographs. They're doing the typesetting. The biggest consignment of paper ever in the United States came in coaches and coaches and coaches. Paper came. And by the end of 6 months, they went to Srila Prabhupada. Here's the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita published. Yeah. That was in the history of ISKCON. That is just unimaginable. But the hard work has been done. Prabhupada has done the translation. The devotees have published it. If you go to our warehouse in Hatfield, there's been stacks of Chaitanya Charitamrita there, lying there for maybe 3-4 years. And for the followers of Srila Prabhupada, one of the biggest crimes you can ever do is to have a warehouse filled with the same books for more than 6 months. That's the biggest crime for a follower of Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada's followers, they empty the warehouse. Their duty is to empty the warehouse. Just empty the warehouse. So dear devotees, last 2 days, we've got Chaitanya Charitamrita in the store. We've got them in Bengali. We've got them in Hindi. We've got them in multiple languages. Let's see if each of us can distribute one set of Chaitanya Charitamrita over the next 2 days. Let's try for it at least. And let's make the reading of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sometimes we'll think, oh, what is the goal of my life? To finish Srila Prabhupada's books. I'll finish Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, Sri Upanishad. Then I'll finish Srimad Bhagavatam, and then I'll finish Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada said, I want you all to scrutinizingly study all of my books. And he said, scrutinizing study Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, Sri Upanishad, Nectar of Instruction and Nectar of Devotion, that's Bhakti Shastri. Then first 6 cantos of Bhagavatam is Bhakti Vaibhav. Last 6 cantos of Bhagavatam is Bhakti Vedanta. And study of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is Bhakti Sarvabhauma. Srila Prabhupada wanted all of us to scrutinizingly study. And he says here, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, more and more. Now we have an app called Be a Sage Page by Page. I want to say, how long do you think it takes to finish Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita? Okay. How many pages would you have to read every day to finish the entire Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in 5 years? 4 pages. How many pages would you have to read to finish the entire Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in 2 years? 10 pages. If you read 10 pages a day, in 2 years you finish the entire Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So if we read 10 pages a day, in 10 years, we can read 5 times. Is that possible? Yes. It's possible. So Prabhupada used to say in his lectures, he said, don't waste time. Don't waste time. Whenever you got little time, chant Hare Krishna. Read our books. Read our books. So the opportunity is there for us. This Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is nectar. It is pure nectar. And then he says, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he says, analytically studying them. We should analytically study, not race through these to complete it, but we should look at every word, try to see it from different angles. So our time on this planet is very, very short. And our goal is very high. And it requires us to take everything very seriously, to read. Has everyone here got a copy of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita? Yeah? If you don't, please see me after the class. I'll take you to the warehouse and you can get your pack of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So very, very nice instructions been given here. We should read and discuss whenever we get together, instead of talking about the latest controversy in ISKCON, the latest theories. We should read and discuss Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Share. Haridas Varya Prabhu, you come to me and say, Vrindavan Chandra, come. I just read something amazing in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Would you like to hear? Yes. Imagine if all of us were reading different parts, and every time we meet each other, our first inclination is, you know what I just read? It just blew my mind. Did you read about it? Oh, share. And we start. This is the, Prabhupada said, this is the basis of the Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada said, I simply created this International Society for Krishna Consciousness to give the people the opportunity to hear about Krishna and discuss. That is our business, and to distribute this knowledge. And now we come to the last verse. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. And Prabhupada gives a very interesting purport, very simple purport, but very profound. He says, the author concludes the chapter by reciting the names of Rupa and Raghunath and reinstating himself at the lotus feet. At the end of every chapter, this is what Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes. Shri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Yara Asha Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishnadasa. At the end of every chapter, he is reinstating himself at the lotus feet of his gurus. And who do he consider to be his guru? Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath Das. Now, just a little bit of history about the significance of Raghunath Das. Now, this Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita has largely been compiled. Now, one may think Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was not traveling with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling through all of these holy places, and at each of these holy places he was having these very profound discussions and performing these very beautiful pastimes. How did Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita? From where did he get all of this information? 11,300 verses. Where did he get the information from? It is explained. Yes, Prabhu? WhatsApp. Yeah. So it is explained that primarily the content that Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami got from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is from the diary of Murari Gupta and Swarup Damodar Goswami. Swarup Damodar Goswami was the secretary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he kept detailed diaries of the activities at the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he made Raghunath Das memorize the entire diary. Raghunath Das memorized the entire diary of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And then Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the history he narrates in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is so interesting to, he comes from Bengal. And in Bengal, he was a Vaishnav, you know, a practicing Vaishnav. And one day he arranged a 24-hour kirtan. And one of the chief attendees of the 24-hour kirtan was Miniketan Ramdas, who was a very, very intimate associate of Lord Nityananda. And Miniketan Ramdas, he was in the mood of a coward boy, always carrying his flute and playing. But he was very, like, similar to Lord Nityananda, he had like an avadut nature, you know, very out of the world. But anyway, when Miniketan Ramdas came to the 24-hour kirtan that was being held by, organized by Krishnadas Kaviraj, his brother, who was a devotee, neglected to properly receive Miniketan Ramdas. And Miniketan Ramdas took that as an offense against Lord Nityananda. He said, anyone who recognizes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu but does not neglect to understand or recognize Lord Nityananda, they are an offender. So he broke his flute, threw it down, got angry and he went off. So Krishnadas Kaviraj, he was very upset with his brother for upsetting a devotee of Lord Nityananda. And that night, Lord Nityananda came in the dream of Kaviraj Goswami and told him, you go to Vrindavan, and in Vrindavan, you will realize all your spiritual aspirations. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami went to Vrindavan, and in Vrindavan, he took shelter of the Goswamis. And in particular, he took shelter of Raghunath Das Goswami. And their bhajan kutir used to be at Radhakund. If you go to Radhakund, some, for the Gaudiya Vaishnav, some primary stand is the samadhi of Kaviraj Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. So Raghunath Das Goswami used to live at the banks of Radhakund. He used to chant for 23 hours a day, perform some seva for rest, and he would only drink a little buttermilk. He was completely absorbed in the pastimes of Shri Radha and Krishna. And his renunciation was unparalleled. That itself is another big topic, but Shri Raghunath Das was a very intimate associate of Srimati Radharani. He's a manjari in the spiritual world. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami took shelter of Raghunath. And all of the other Goswamis, they took shelter of Rupa. So Rupa Goswami is the head of our Sampradaya. He's known as the Sampradaya Acharya. For the next 10,000 years, he is our Sampradaya Acharya. Therefore, we are known as Rupanugas, followers of Rupa Goswami. So Kaviraj Goswami, he is writing this book with a mood of full dependency on Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath. He is writing this, and it is explained that how did Kaviraj Goswami come to write Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita? Actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's about 30 biographies of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the Chaitanya Charitamrita is considered to be the foremost. And there are a few reasons why Chaitanya Charitamrita is considered to be the foremost. One reason is that Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita united all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. When Mahaprabhu was here and Mahaprabhu left, there were Gaudiya Vaishnavas all over the place, in Puri, in the south, in Bengal. But they never knew of each other. But in the Adi Leela, Kaviraj Goswami, he writes about the entire Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tree and the different branches. And for the first time, everyone thought, we are one big group. We are related. And before that, Sri Chaitanya, before Kaviraj Goswami wrote the Adi Lila and he gave the Chaitanya branch, we didn't know. And the second important reason why Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is so unique is that Kaviraj Goswami has not only written about the Leela of Mahaprabhu, but he's given the philosophy of Mahaprabhu. The talks between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the talks between Prakashananda Sarasvati and Mahaprabhu, the talks between Ramananda Rai and Mahaprabhu, the talks between Venkata Bhatta, so many important philosophical discussion that brings out the essence of the Gaudiya Siddhanta. We find it only in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this literature of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is so unique. And what Srila Prabhupada has given us, it's so unique, it's so beautiful. And we should embrace it. Prabhupada concludes Prabhupada concluded the translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita on Ram Ekadasi in Juhu, Bombay. And Prabhupada, normally he would come for his morning walk every day without fail, rigorously. But that one day, he never came for his morning walk. His doors were closed. Then at a certain point in the morning, he called for the devotees, he says, open the door. And he called them and he said, today we shall have a feast because I have completed the translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And that was a very joyous and festive occasion, the completion of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, let's all absorb ourselves in this wonderful literature. Take the advice given to us by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So it's a marathon. I think we stop at 1:45, not normally at 8-9 o'clock. I'll stop here and I'll take any questions, comments, reflections that anybody has. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Can you hear me? Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for this beautiful lecture. I just had a question about something that you mentioned during the start of the lecture, which was about Lord Buddha. And I'm sure that this would have been discussed in an earlier lecture, but if we consider Lord Buddha to be a form of Krishna, then can there be a flaw with the Buddhist philosophy? And how does Lord Chaitanya reconcile, given that he would have been Lord Buddha as well? Like, I mean, it's the same Krishna, right?
It's something called time, place and circumstance.
Okay.
So Srila Prabhupada once told one story to illustrate that. He said there was once a veterinary surgeon and he had an apprentice. So once the veterinary surgeon was called out to attend to a sick horse. So they went to see the horse. The horse was sick. The farmer was worried. So the veterinary surgeon, he went, he examined the horse. And then he told the apprentice, see in my bag, there's a hammer. Pass me the hammer. So the apprentice gave him the hammer. So he tapped 3 times on this side of the neck of the horse. 3 times on that side of the neck of the horse. And miraculously, the horse got better. So this apprentice, he thought to himself, it's not so difficult to be a veterinary. So next time, there was a sick horse and there was a call out, he said, I won't call the vet. I'll go take care of this myself. So he went to see the sick horse. He took the hammer. He tapped it 3 times hard on this side. 3 times that side hard. And the horse died. Then he went to the veterinary. And news got around the veterinary that his apprentice is causing havoc. He just killed a horse. So the veterinary went to the apprentice. He said, what is going on? You know, why are you going? You killed a horse? And he said, I don't know. I saw you hit the horse 1 time, 3 times this side, 3 times that side. And he got better. And then the vet said, you're a fool. That horse had a watermelon stuck in his throat. So when I hit the side and I hit that, he broke the watermelon, he got better. So you can't do the same thing. So Prabhupada said, in the Vedic literature, at a point in time, people were using the Vedas to justify the eating of meat. So they were using the provisions in the Vedas that say you can kill a goat on this night and you do that, 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 and you can eat meat. So when Lord Buddha came, his purpose was he had to stop the eating of meat. And to do that, he had to negate the Vedas. Because the basis for their justification was the Vedas. So he negated the Vedas. Then later on, the Lord instructed Sankaracharya to come, Lord Shiva to come as Sankaracharya, and to preach impersonal philosophy. The gap between voidism and personalism is big. So preach impersonal philosophy, which is somewhere in between, with the goal of re-establishing personalism. So this philosophy was preached in a certain context, in a certain time, according to the arrangement of the Lord. Yeah. If we see it in isolation, we miss the point.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Paramakaruna Prabhu.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. In text 364, we should hear with faith and we should analytically study the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's what is being encouraged. Now, faith and analytical study or analytical thinking seems like two opposite things, right? So maybe you can maybe share something on what do we mean by faith, what does it mean to analytically study? And sometimes even, you know, when it comes to spiritual master or instruction of Krishna, we haven't been encouraged to follow them blindly, right? I think there is also one disciple recalling Srila Prabhupada saying, the problem with me is I followed my spiritual master's instructions blindly, you know, like that. So, what is faith, what is analytical study, and how do we balance the two so we can develop love of God?
Yes, I'm trying to. I was reading this and I had the same thought last night. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains Sankhya and Bhakti very nicely. And this is the fifth chapter, fifth verse. Krishna says, one who knows the position reached by means of analytical study can also be attained by devotional service. And who therefore sees analytical study and devotional service to be on the same level, sees things as they are. And Prabhupada gives a very beautiful purport to this. But basically, the Lord is saying, one who sees analytical study and devotional service to be on the same level, sees things as they are. And Prabhupada explains the real purpose of philosophical research is to find the ultimate goal of life. And generally, you know, analytical study, the translation is Sankhya philosophy. We are a bit averse because we think Sankhya philosophy gravitates us towards impersonalism. So we should not really, you know, follow the path of Sankhya. But here, in this verse of Bhagavad Gita, and in the purport, Prabhupada says, there is a place for analytical study. If it gets us to the goal. And Prabhupada says something very interesting in the purport. If we think analytical study is to make us bookworms, then we miss the point. But if we think analytical study is to help us find the ultimate goal of life, who is Krishna, then it's on the same platform as devotion. So this call for us to analytically study the books of our acharyas, if we do it in the mood that our goal is to know Krishna better. The ultimate goal is to know, not simply to become a big bookworm, to become a scholar, and to show off our learning. Then there's a place for analytical study. So, yeah, that's how Prabhupada explains it to us. Is that okay, Prabhu? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for your class. I would like to ask you a question regarding the service which is very close to your heart, and that's book distribution. So, if you want to describe the service of, you know, or advantage of book distribution as an elevator speech in few words, how do you describe to someone that, you know, the advantage is, why do you distribute books?
The way I try to see it, what is the goal? As I mentioned, our goal is to please Krishna. And, you know, I come back to this one story that Prabhupada gave. Once Prabhupada gave the one disciple initiation, he gave him the name Bhavananda. And he says, Bhavananda means the bliss of the material world. So this devotee was very perplexed. All Prabhupada's preaching is how miserable the material world. And then he gives him a name, Bhavananda, the bliss of the material world. So he goes to Prabhupada and he says, Prabhupada, I don't understand. You keep telling us the material world is Dukkayalama Shashvatam, a place of repeated birth and misery, but you give me a name, Bhavananda, and you say it is the bliss of the material world. What do you mean? And Prabhupada said, yes. The bliss of the material world means preaching. Krishna is very anxious that the living entities in this material world are suffering. And when someone is preached to and he comes back to Krishna, it gives Krishna great pleasure. It gives Krishna great pleasure. So when we're distributing books, we are distributing knowledge. And ultimately, we are giving Krishna pleasure. Because when Krishna sees a long-lost living entity coming back to him, and every living entity is meant to give Krishna pleasure. Just like Radharani's mood is to bring everyone back to Krishna. Because she understands that Krishna has a very unique rasa with that devotee. And when that devotee is different, Krishna is bereft of that rasa. And when that Krishna is united with a devotee, then he's enjoying the rasa. So if our goal is to give pleasure to Krishna, and if we distribute books and someone turns to Krishna and gives Krishna great pleasure, why shouldn't we do it? Why shouldn't we extend ourselves to give Krishna pleasure in that form? Anyway, that's maybe my analytical rationalization.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna.
My ignorance is great, but anyway, by reading this, initially you also said that Lord Chaitanya, he was going around and he gave this highest form of love of God, highest prema, which comes in category madhurya, and then, was he or he was not interested to give other rasas, which are kind of down. He was just giving that rasa because he would say, there's a quote earlier in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he says, who is in these three worlds who can give me a pleasure but only one person, Radharani? Anything else doesn't kind of hit the target. So in that sense, he was giving that prema, and people would be infected on his journey in this highest rasa. So it's interesting that thus Chaitanya Charitamrita has this power to deliver that rasa regardless of one's swarup. And also Chaitanya Charitamrita just goes through this world and scoops out those who are already maybe situated there. In that sense, do you now understand what I mean? It can really change this, because that's what Lord Chaitanya is eventually interested in, giving out this highest form of prema.
Okay, I'm trying to understand the question. So you are asking, Prabhu, and correct me if I'm wrong, that was Mahaprabhu's main mission to give Madhurya Ras, and is the main mission of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita to promote Madhurya Ras. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, this was like what he was relishing and then giving out free, and then he was not going and giving like other rasas. Like, I mean, he was not really intent to that. But this highest exchange you wanted.
I wouldn't say that. Mahaprabhu, by promoting the Madhurya Ras, was really trying to inculcate in people the purest form of bhakti. That means bhakti without any tinge of anything else. And that was most pronounced in the Madhurya Ras. So Mahaprabhu was explaining the love of the gopis, or promoting as that's the highest form of love, simply to highlight pure devotional service, totally uncontaminated devotional service. Because we see in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, there were Anupam and Murari Gupta. There's instances where Mahaprabhu was trying to convert them into devotees of Krishna, and then they didn't want to because they were in the mood of devotion to Lord Ramachandra. And eventually Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced them and glorified them because they wouldn't give up that mood that they had. So I wouldn't say, you know, it is trying to minimize or lessen. For me, I see...
Giving a chance to everybody who...
Yes, they give everyone the chance, and no matter whatever rasa you are in, let it be completely pure. Completely... And you can take that example of purity by looking towards the Vrajavasis, and in particular the gopis.
He gives a chance, that means there is a chance for everyone, even if he's not maybe in that trust. And although this story Anupam's show is different. Giving chance.
Well,
if you are not situated, then what's the chance there?
Well, there's different debates about that. From my understanding, from what I learned, is everyone's got a particular swarup, a particular relationship with the Lord. And one is completely satisfied with that relationship, and one would not look for anything beyond that, as long as one is situated.
The statement when like, I don't know, it's in the purport, it said that those who are associated with Lord Nityananda and then Advaita, even if they are situated in lower rasas, if they get attraction to Lord Chaitanya, they can be situated in Madhura rasa. You know that?
Uh-huh.
It's very interesting, that statement.
Yeah. That I do not know too much about. I can't comment on
it. There is a statement, very, very interesting, that it can be situated in Madhura Rasa. If they got attracted to Lord Chaitanya. Kind of very, very interesting.
Yeah. It's quite a big topic, and there's... maybe we can take it offline, you know, about even Madhavendra Puri gave Madhurya Ras, and they say his eternal position is Kalpa Vriksha Tree. There's so much discussion can be had about that. Okay, I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Go Premanande Devo. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.